So the sermon today is Jesus, the relational priest of love, love incarnate, because we're talking about incarnate, God became man, and we're talking about love incarnated and dwelt with us and lived with us. So this week I went to the barber store, a barber shop, I mean. And as I was sitting there, they said, "Sorry, we don't fix ugly," you know. I was so sad because I was looking for an extreme makeover, okay? So there was a guy sitting next by me. And the guy's going to come, you know, he was there. He was also having a hope, "Hey, you're going to fix me up." But after he fixed him up, there was a good-looking guy there. See? So they do fix ugly. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." That's from John 3:16, John 15:3, the scripture that we all know in our heart, that we have memorized it even when we were a kid. This morning I want to talk about love in three things. How do we experience God's love? What is God's love? The first one that I want to express this morning is that God's love is expressed by giving. It's expressed in giving. It's expressed by giving. How do we know that? He gave his only... Yes, he gave his only Son. So, what I want to tell our church is that God understands giving. He understands giving. Because when we give, we are in sync with God's heart. Do you know that? That when you give, you're in sync with God's heart. Because God's love is expressed by giving. Can we say giving? Yes. Yes. And say it like you mean it. Yes, giving. In India, there is a festival called Kumbh Mela. Okay? And this happens in the holiest of the holiest river in North India. And I've gone to that place, to that river. There are hundreds of temples nearby the riverside. And people will come, make sacrifice, and the priest will take you out in the water, and you take the whole holy dip to wash and cleanse your sin. And sacrifices are made. And your sacrifice, whether it's flowers or fruits or any other form of sacrifices, are offered. And it will flow down and float down the river. Okay. So how many people will go to this festival? Millions. I mean, millions of people will go. There is just a sea of people in this place. And people will come and make sacrifice and bring their offering. There was a Christian evangelist that go there. There are a lot of underground Christian evangelists that would go to this festival. And if they get a chance to share the gospel, they will share. Because people from all over the world will come. If you go home today and Google Kumbh Mela, in fact, if you're doing it right now in the church, you will see millions of people, right? Kumbh Mela, K-U-M-P-B-H-M-E-L-A, Kumbh Mela. From the United States, thousands of people will be there. So when this evangelist went there, there was a young mother kneeling by the river, Ganga, Ganges, holy river, and she was crying. She was crying, sobbing, crying. And this evangelist say, "Why are you crying? What happened to you?" She had come to offer her only son to the God so that good things will follow in her family's life. That they will find favor. Maybe good money, jobs, And she had just offered her son, put into the river. As I'm reading that story, I'm thinking about my two sons. No. A little baby. I mean, can you do it? For favor from God, for blessings, that you would sacrifice your only son or your daughter? And he knelt down and said to that woman, "You didn't have to do that. God gave his only son to save the world and for the sins of the world, that no sacrifice needed to be made anymore." She looked up at him and said, "Why didn't you come 5 minutes earlier?" See? God's love is expressed to us by sending his son. He gave his son. So when we give, we are in sync with God's heart. God understands giving because he gave everything he had. Most prized possession he had, he gave it. So this morning, I want to ask you, what was taken from you that really matters to you in your life? What has been taken from you that really matters to you? One of the things, there is a difference between Satan and Christ, is that Satan takes away. He takes away our children. He takes away our peace. He takes away our joy. He takes away our marriages. Whatever he can take, he will take it. He will take it. Because his heart is not in sync with God's heart. But you know what Christ did? You know? I mean, what has God given to you that really matters to you? See? Christ came to give us abundant life. That in the midst of storm, we are able to have life. That even in the darkest moment of our lives, we are able to find hope, the light of the world, shining in the darkness, so we have a hope to hang on to, that God will pull us out of this darkness. Christ came to give life abundantly. Satan takes away, Christ gives. Big difference. So God's love is expressed by giving. He gave his only son. Second thing is that God's love is embraced by believing. Can you say believing?
Believing.
Yeah. Whoever believes in him. See? You say he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him. You embrace God's love by believing. When I was doing my doctorate, I'm throwing out my credential here. I didn't mean to. When I was doing my doctorate, my professor, my advisor, he was a very good professor, Dr. Ward. There was a woman, married, and after their marriage, their honeymoon, they have never had physical intimacy. The woman would not. She was unwilling. Okay? So they're trying to find out here what's going on. What's going on? And he found out that her mother has always told her that you look like a man to this woman. Say, you look like a man. You're just like a man. That word, day in, day out, every day, had just destroyed her. And she started to believe that she was like a man and she was not beautiful. So when they got married, she doesn't want to show her body to her husband because he will think that she is like a man. So they never had any physical relationship. Now, when this thing came out, there was tears in the eyes of her husband. And he looked at her, and this is what he said. And I want every husband to say this. This is what he said to his wife. And he said, "But you are the most beautiful woman that I've met. You are the most beautiful woman that I've met." That word changed everything. He believed in his word because she was looking into his eyes and tears were flowing out of his eyes. And she believed and received the love. See? And that word healed her of the lies that she has heard from other people. What lies have been told to you that you hold on and believe even to this day? What lies are you hearing today? What lies are you hearing? There are lies that they say, people say, you don't need God. In Santa Clara, in Silicon Valley, there might be a lot of people thinking, I don't need God. My wife and we prayed with an agnostic woman in Bethlehem. She came there because her father had a cancer. And her mother cannot take it. She's a mess. And say, do you believe in anything? No, I'm an agnostic. But she's ready to come there for prayer. I don't believe that people don't need God. That's a lie. They need something. They may have the money. And I was meeting with a couple from Hong Kong. And as I was talking to them, we were talking about sufficiency, self-sufficiency. And I said, you know, your sufficiency is not enough. Do not rely on your self-sufficiency. Rely on God's grace. And they are soaking in everything that we say because there are things happening in their life that their jobs, their money, their house, their cars, their bank savings is not giving it to them. That's not sufficient, and that's why they're coming. And it's a lie to tell us, to make us believe that people don't need God. That if we tell them about God, that they would just push us away. It's not. That was not the case in Bethlehem. People need God. But Satan wants us to believe that they don't need God. Satan wants us to believe that you're not beautiful. Satan wants to believe that you're not wanted. You're not loved. You're not liked. But God's love is expressed and embraced. Expressed in giving, embraced by believing. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, your life changes. Your life is changed. She believed in her husband's word and it changes. It's a miracle. Every lie that she has heard for many years have been washed away by the love of a husband. And it's expressed through the love of a husband. Just as Christ has said, husband, love your wife just as I love the church. That's what Jesus said to the husband, to the man. He said, love your wife as I love the church. Love can be embraced when they believe that we truly love them. People that are agnostic, that are angry with God, that are wandering away from the law, from God, they will believe in the gospel if we truly, truly mean it and share it with love. And when they look into our eyes and see the compassion and the love, and we share that love to them, they will embrace it and believe it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whosoever believes. The third point is God's love is experienced by living. It says, should not perish. See? You should not die. Death is not God's love. Life is. Life is God's love. To what degree fear dictates your life? that you're afraid of the unknown, that you stop living for today. That you're so afraid of tomorrow that the present that you have stopped living because you're worried about tomorrow. That's how Satan robs your life. And that's death itself. Because you can't live today in fear of tomorrow. That's Satan has won and take your life away already. We got to leave this moment, this present life. Have you heard the phrase that you only live once? Have you heard that? Yeah, how many of you heard that? Yes. That is not true. You do not live once. You live every day. You live every day. You live every day. You die only once. You die only once, but you live every day. We have to live every day with the life that God has given to us. It's the stupid things that we do because we believe we live only once. I'm going to go for a beer binge or binge drinking. That's what we do because we live only once. Hey, jump off the wall, the cliff. You live only once. No, you live every day. Don't go kill yourself. God has given life abundantly, and He wants us to live every second, every moment, every day, fully. And in order to do that, we cannot be afraid of Satan, afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. We got to live now. Now. Because when we live now, it's a small experience of what we're going to live eternally that God has promised us. Oh, hallelujah. Don't die every day and stop living. That's what I want to say today. Don't die every day and stop living. Live every day. You will die only once. Only once. The Bible said that Hebrew, you die only once, but you live every day. Live with the Lord abundantly. Because God so loved the world that He gave us His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. And we're going to sing at the cross. Because the manger points us to the cross. That baby Jesus points us to our Savior on the cross. And this song is a beautiful song. At the cross. At the cross. You know, and this is one thing I want to tell you. At the cross. At the cross. There is only one person that is looking down, and that is the Lord Jesus. At the cross, everyone is looking up. We are at the feet. The only place that we can do is to look down or to look up. We go before the cross, looking up only to God. Because He has given life to us, no one else. Let's worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who was given to us, who died on the cross for us. Come to the feet of the cross today. Look up to Him in humility and obedience and worship Him. Let's be on our feet if you can.